Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. This is chapter 1 on the invisible page 79. Chapter 1, Devaki and Vasudev, the overburdened earth. Said Vishnu Rata, Shukadev, you've now described for me the moon god and the sun god and their splendid dynasties. The moon god's line, great sage, includes the Yadu family, the dynasty of Krishna. Would you speak about him, please? Who wouldn't want to hear about these pastimes of the Lord? Just those, I think, bewildered, broken-hearted, or so bored, they choose to merge into the void, committing suicide, or spend their lives as butchers, selling gristle, flesh, and hide. Lord Krishna saved my grandfather, Arjuna, in the war. Lord Krishna saved my mother and allowed me to be born. Lord Krishna is the universe, yet lives within our hearts. I have so many questions about Krishna. Where to start? Why did the Lord leave Vasudev and live in Nanda's home? Why did he kill King Kamsa and usurp Mathura's throne when Kamsa, after all, was Krishna's king and relative? And why did Krishna later shift to Dwarka to live? Lord Krishna has a form of endless bliss, I understand, yet he lived with his family like any common man. Did he live long in Dwarka, an often wedded groom? Why was his brother born out of another mother's womb? O Master, you know everything of Krishna, do you not? Please clarify these mysteries and others I forgot. My vow to fast from food and drink will surely make me weak unless I drink the Krishna nectar flowing as you speak. Sukadeva Goswami replied, your urge to hear of Krishna has made you the best of kings. Just as the touch of Ganges water purifies all things, the person who inquires of Krishna cleans the atmosphere for he who gives the answers and for everyone who hears. At one time, Mother Earth was overburdened by the weight of armies ruled by godless kings who thrived on greed and hate. So Earth assumed the body of a cow in desperation and told the senior god, Brahma, about her situation. Brahma, Shiva, and other gods, distressed by Earth's report, at once went off to Vishnu's world, their ultimate resort. Arriving at the milk ocean whereon the Lord resides, they worshipped him with heartfelt hymns until the Lord replied, I've been aware of Earth's misfortune. Listen well to me. Lord Krishna soon shall grace Earth's famous Yadu dynasty. His older brother, Balaram, shall join the Lord as well. And all you gods and all your wives should do the same yourselves. My power to bewilder, Yogamaya, who can cast a spell of deep illusion over all who cross her path, shall also join the entourage of Krishna when he comes. Now go, prepare yourselves for birth among the Yadu sons. Brahma returned to his abode, and all the gods began establishing themselves as members of the Yadu clan. The capital of Yadu's kingdom, Mathura by name, had flourished with its current king, the pious Ugrasen. Kamsa seizes power. In honor of her marriage, Kamsa, son of Ugrasen, took up his sister Devaki's fine chariot and reins. With Vasudev, her husband, at her side, the royal maid prepared to ride with Kamsa in her wedding day parade. Her dowry featured elephants with garlands made of gold. 400 soldiers riding golden chariots patrolled. 200 lovely bridesmaids, 15,000 jeweled steeds. With pride, all tried to please the bride and satisfy her needs. Sweet music filled the air as Kamsa drove the bride and groom. Then, suddenly, an unembodied voice proclaimed his doom. You foolish Kamsa! Though today you serve this man and wife, the eighth child born to Devaki will someday take your life. The wicked Kamsa turned to Devaki with shock and dread. With sword in hand, he snatched her hair and roared, "Off with her head!" The tactful Vasudev saw this, and holding Kongsa's arm, addressed his angry in-law without showing his alarm. "You are your family's pride, dear Kamsa. Heroes sing your praise. How could someone as great as you behave in such a way? To kill a girl, indeed your sister, on her wedding day will surely stain your reputation. What will people say? Now think this through, great hero. From the moment of your birth, your body inexorably returns back into earth. By one means or another, be it now or decades hence, your death is surely coming. It is simply common sense. And when your body turns to dust, your soul again acquires another earthly body formed to suit your own desires. As when you walk, you shift your weight from back foot to the fore, you'll change your body after death and leave the one before. As one asleep is certain that the life he dreams is real, the soul believes in everything his body does or feels. The fleeting artificial body keeps the soul encaged while making him forget that he is living in a cage. As wind distorts reflections on the moon upon a lake, illusion makes the spirit think, "I'm flesh," a big mistake. Since sinful actions cause the soul to stay in this condition, why not consider carefully and then make your decision? Your younger sister Devaki is like your very child. She so deserves your loving shelter. Please be reconciled, for you are very merciful. Do not cut off her head, but give her love and treat her as a father would instead. Because of his demonic nature, Kamsa felt disdain about the tax for sinful acts that Vasudev explained. As Vasudev saw Kamsa pulling back his sister's head, he came up with another plan. Within himself, he said, "When circumstances threaten one's existence or one's wife, one must use any method to avoid the loss of life. Perhaps he will die first, so if I promise now to give my future sons to Kamsa, at least Devaki may live." The anxious Vasudev knew well what panic might invoke, so with respect he smiled at Kamsa, cleared his throat, and spoke. "Great soul, why are you frightened by an unembodied voice? Your sister will not harm you, just perhaps her future boys. You have my word, dear brother. When your sister bears our sons, I promise to bring each to you to do what must be done." Although he was atrocious, when he heard these gentle words, cruel Kamsa put his sword away, completely reassured. He fully trusted Vasudev, whose character was such that Kamsa knew he'd keep his word, although he'd pledged so much. When Devaki was freed from Kamsa, in due time she bore a shining baby boy whom any parent would adore. Her husband took the boy away, for though he loved his son, he would not lie to Kongsa, nor indeed to anyone. What pain is there for saintly souls devoted to the truth? What evil is off-limits for the low and the uncouth? And what cannot be given up in service to the Lord by those who want to please him and desire nothing more? When Kamsa saw that Vasudev had brought the newborn child exactly as he promised, he examined him and smiled. "Take back your son, dear Vasudev," said Kamsa with good cheer. "The omen said your eighth child is the one that I must fear." Returning with his baby boy, wise Vasudev perceived that Kamsa was impulsive and could never be believed. Now, at that time, Saint Narada, the ever-roaming sage, decided to speed Krishna's birth by prompting Kamsa's rage. Said Narada to Kamsa, "Sir, have you been made aware the gods are here as Yadus and surround you everywhere? Their presence in your neighborhood should lead you to assess that Vishnu will be coming soon to ease the earth's distress." The words of Narada left Kamsa thoroughly provoked and made him tremble angrily. Again the mystic spoke, "In your last life you also practiced wickedness and sin. Lord Vishnu killed you then, and now, it seems, he will again." As Narada departed, Kamsa fumed and set his mind, Just see, he thought, what happens when a man tries to be kind. He killed Devaki's baby, and along with Ugrasen, put her and Vasudev in jail and hailed his new domain. Now Vasudev and Devaki could see their only hope would come as the eighth child foretold in Kongsa's horoscope. Thus, suffering in prison after Kongsa killed their boy, each year they bore another child for Kongsa to destroy. What crime is too outrageous for a person who intends to please his flesh while caring less for family or friends? He'll even kill to have a thrill or fill a selfish whim. King Kongsa ruled with terror, and the people bowed to him. Devaki's eighth pregnancy. As Kongsa gathered power, he was nearly unopposed, for many other demons helped him terrorize his foes. He killed six sons of Devaki. The Yadus fled in fear, except for some who stayed and prayed that Krishna would appear. Her seventh pregnancy brought Devaki both joy and gloom. She didn't know the Lord's expansion lived within her womb. Lord Krishna, elsewhere, summoned Yogamaya to request that she protect his devotees through these clandestine steps. My brother Balaram waits in the womb of Devaki, but he will leave as soon as it has been prepared for me. Take Balaram to Rohini, co-wife of Devaki. King Nanda guards her during Vasudev's captivity. King Nanda rules Gokula, that enchanting rural land. Now enter Yashoda, his wife, and execute this plan. Reside within Queen Yashoda throughout her pregnancy. When Balaram has left, I'll feel the womb of Devaki. First, Balaram will take his birth and be Rohini's son. His charm and strength shall be unmatched, delighting everyone. When Yashoda delivers you, then I shall join the act, the eighth-born son of Devaki, my opulence intact. O Yogamaya, go now and accomplish all these tasks. I bless you to bewilder all and finish what I've asked. Henceforward, using sacrifice and all that it requires, some people will entreat you to fulfill their sense desires. Obediently, Yogamaya bowed before the Lord and left for Sri Gokula. Soon, exactly in accord with Krishna's order, Balaram departed Devaki and entered his new home within the womb of Rohini. When Devaki miscarried Balaram, the people said, "Since Kamsa kills her children, she aborted it instead." At that time, Krishna, God himself, who vanquishes all fear, went in the mind of Vasudev and readied to appear. While bearing Krishna, Vasudev appeared just like the sun, his glow so bright the shining light astonished everyone. When he placed Krishna in the mind of Devaki one day, her visage bloomed, a waxing moon in opulent display. To bear the Lord while trapped in jail by Kongsa's wicked plot made Devaki seem like a fire kept within a pot, or like a man enlightened, wise, and thoroughly refined who fails to share his wisdom for the good of humankind. As Devaki grew jubilant, King Kongsa grew concerned. "This Vishnu killed me once," he thought, "and now he has returned to kill me once again. Yet killing Devaki today will only bring me trouble in a different sort of way. To kill a pregnant relative would cost me all respect. My opulence would vanish, and my subjects would defect. My health and life and legacy would all die out as well. A wicked man is just a corpse descending into hell." Deliberating in this way, King Kongsa chose to wait to let the child be born and then administer its fate. While on his throne or in his bed, King Kongsa stayed absorbed in thoughts about his enemy, the all-pervading Lord. The gods pray. At that time, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada, and Vyas, and other gods and sages grew invisible and crossed the prison grounds till they found Devaki within her room. They then recited heartfelt hymns for Krishna in her womb. Lord Krishna, we've come to fulfill your command. Your birth in this prison is just what you planned. You always stay true to your own perfect vow, for who could prevent anything you allow? You're there when the universe comes into place. You're there when it all disappears without trace. You favor the person who's honest like you, but never the hypocrite, cheater, or fool. You fill the desires of your devotees who conquer the ocean of death and disease. They use the safe boat of your soft lotus feet, then leave it for others, their journey complete. And what of those non-devotees who aspire to lift themselves out of this worldly mire? Imagining they have been freed, they perform the same mundane actions they meant to reform. But if a devotee who loves you falls prey to mundane attraction, he won't go away, for you will protect him so well, it is said, he'll fearlessly walk on his enemies' heads. Your lessons apply to each time and each place. You're equal to all, every species and race. You are the beginning of all that is true. Please care for us, Lord. We surrender to you. O Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, Lord Krishna has come here with all of his powers. Your family is blessed now that this has occurred. You need not fear Kamsa. His death is assured. Thus, having come to Devaki to eulogize and pray, the many gods and sages went invisibly away. Lord Krishna can do anything, so all of them were pleased to see him be the child of his most faithful devotees. The birth of Lord Krishna. One pleasant evening, earth seemed bathed in happiness and love. The sacred constellation, Rohini, appeared above, with other stars and planets twinkling in a cloudless sky. The universe itself seemed pleasing, still, and satisfied. The moonlit Mother Earth displayed her pastures, mines, and towns. In fragrant trees, the birds and bees sang out their pleasing sounds. The rivers poured clear water into reservoirs and lakes, where lotuses and lilies bloomed, appearing wide awake. The Brahmins rose before the dawn, took bath, and set alight their sacrificial fires in accord with Vedic rites. Across the lakes and pastures, silky, fragrant breezes came. They pleased the Brahmins, tending fires, but didn't spoil the flames. The Brahmins, who had suffered much from Kamsa and his men, began to feel tranquility pervade their hearts again. The higher worlds resounded with the sounds of kettle drums as gods peered down at earth, expecting Krishna soon would come. While gods threw flowers, danced and sang in heavenly enclaves, assembling clouds made thundering sounds like gentle ocean waves. Then Vishnu, he who dwells within the hearts of you and me, appeared as if a full moon from the heart of Devaki. In his four hands the child held lotus, chakra, conch, and club. His bangled arms and jeweled ears and helmet placed above his scattered hair set off his yellow silks and blue-black skin. And there, around his neck, was hung the famed Kushtuba gem. As Vasudev beheld the child, he thought his eyes had failed. How could the Lord, so nicely dressed, be born inside a jail? The father could not celebrate, though he was much inclined, so he gave out 10,000 cows within his joyous mind. On seeing how the child's effulgence lit the dismal cell, the awestruck Vasudev felt peace, his worries all dispelled. He joined his palms and bowed his head, and then, though it seemed strange, began, with wife and newborn son, the following exchange. Primeval, transcendent, ubiquitous Lord, I see your position as never before. You made the creation, and yet, as its God, you're here as our son by your own sweet facade. Your powers create everything that we see, yet they are distinct and complete potencies. You too are distinct from this world you have made, yet my confused eyes see you clearly today. My Lord, you're adored in the finest of rooms. Why come to a jail through a prisoner's womb? O Master of all, I can safely presume, since you have arrived, cruel Kamsa is doomed. Devaki. Dear Almighty Lord, now at last you have come within your creation as bright as the sun. The Vedas exalt you in all you arrange. No one can divorce you or force you to change. The common man longs for the heavenly skies and freedom from illness, old age, and demise. But when you appear, death itself runs away, and we all feel peaceful, no longer afraid. As Kamsa still persecutes good people, please defeat all the fears of sincere devotees and cover this form, much adored by the wise, from envious, evil, material eyes. Your four-handed form doesn't fit in this world. I should have a two-handed boy or a girl. No one will think Vishnu could come from my womb. Please change, and I'll hide you. The guards will come soon. Vishnu. My dear mother, now please be blessed. Among chaste women you are the best. Let me now put your mind at rest. Let your heart fill with happiness. Long ago, in a former life, you were still Vasudeva's wife. Though Brahma said to procreate, you first sat down to meditate. Both of you sat through heat and cold, hearts made perfect by self-control. I was pleased, so I asked you to say what you wanted me to do. All you wanted, you said humbly, was the boon of a son like me. Twice I came as your son back then. Here today I have come again. Had I come as a normal boy, would your faith have been unalloyed? Still, I'm yours, and since you love me, when you die, you will come to me. Lord Vishnu then fell silent, and before his parents' eyes, his figure changed from Vishnu to a child of normal size. Reclining in his legendary transcendental form, he showed himself as baby Krishna, smiling, bright, and warm. Then Yogamaya took her birth, just as Lord Krishna planned, across the river Jamuna, in Nanda's rural land. When Yashoda, King Nanda's wife, gave birth that mystic night, exhausted from her labor, she slept on, her eyes shut tight. By Yogamaya's influence, the guards in Kamsa's jail, not hearing sounds of childbirth, not a whimper, sob, or wail, fell fast asleep as well, and could not see or hear a sound. At this, the gate swung open, and their locks fell to the ground. When thundering clouds let out their rain as gently as they could, a mystic serpent sheltered man and son with many hoods. As Vasudev, the huge white snake and babe of blackish blue, snuck quickly past the sleeping guards, King Kamsa slept on too. The swirling river Jamuna, made deeper by the showers, came to a halt and made a path by Yogamaya's powers. The river welcomed Vasudev, lest Krishna should be lost, just as the Indian Ocean once allowed Lord Ram to cross. When Vasudev reached Nanda's house, where everybody slept, he found the room of Yashoda and pondered his next step. In hopes that even Kamsa would not kill a newborn daughter, he switched the babes and ran at once back through the swirling waters. Back past the sleeping guards he slipped, through every open door. He chained himself and Devaki in shackles as before. He placed the girl by Devaki, who looked at her and smiled, while Yashoda, asleep, knew not the gender of her child. Evil. Any questions about the content? Any things that were not clear to those of you who haven't, especially those of you who haven't heard this before? All the complicated plot Krishna's making with Balaram and Yogamaya, Yashoda, Rohini. Why does he do it in such a complicated way? What's that? It is his pastime. Okay. So, if there are no questions? Yes, Zach? Yogamaya is the power of illusion, Krishna's power of illusion. Yes, it is a person. Yes, she is personified illusion. And Krishna brings her and then gives her this engagement and tells her that now that you have done this nice service for me, in the future you will be worshipped. So people worship Yogamaya as Durga, right, or Kali, or Bhadra, Shri, what is it? Chandika, especially in Bengal. So she is a deity in her own right. In the fifth canto, you might remember how Judd Barrett was taken before the... Oh, you weren't there, that's right. She was taken before the goddess Durga to be sacrificed. So this power, Yogamaya, also plays a role in Krishna's pastimes later by covering all of his devotees and making them think that Krishna is an ordinary person. And she also is the same Yogamaya is manifest as Mahamaya, that makes all the living entities think they are their body. So she has these two roles. Okay? Good question. Anything else? Nanda Kumar Prabhu. You want to stay?
So I read this Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary and also Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Prabhupada and also your book. And some of the details which I find interesting I'll just present. One of them is, who knows who is the wife of Lord Balram? Revati, wife of Lord Balram. So Revati is daughter of King Revata, and in the Satyuga, the king went to meet Lord Brahma to find a suitable groom for his daughter. And the Brahma was listening to a music that time, and he listened to the music for very brief time, but that brief time on the earth was Satyuga and Trita Yuga and Dwapara Yuga passed. And then he said, oh, by this time, a lot of time has passed and all your relatives are gone. So now, whatever kings you had in your mind while coming here to ask me to choose from, they have all gone. Now you can choose Lord Balram, who has appeared on the earth just now. Yeah. So then they all come and accept Lord Balram as a husband of Revati. So the question is, if Brahma was busy listening to all the music, then which Brahma Mother Earth approached? So this is an interesting question came to my mind, and I did some research and I found that there are two Brahmas. The original Brahma is called Vairaj Brahma, and his expansion stays in the Satyaloka. He is called Hiranyagarbha Brahma. So like this, this is resolved by the Acharyas. They have mentioned that one is at work and one is at home, so enjoying. Okay. It is his expansion. I mean, Lord has expansion. Similarly, Brahma also has an partial expansion, who is always enjoying and also meditating. And other Brahma is at work, the Meru Parvat. So they are staying at two places. And other is, there are, before Lord Krishna appeared, there were six sons of Devaki who were killed, and then Lord Balram appeared. So I heard in the lecture by Gaurang Prabhu that one interpretation he has heard from Acharya is that just like there are six bad qualities, what is that? Anarthas. So Lord Krishna will appear in the heart only when the six anarthas are gone and the instruction of Guru takes place in the heart, which is represented by Balram, and then the heart is prepared for the appearance of Krishna. So that is one understanding we can get. Kama, Krodha, Moha, Lobha, Mad, Matsar. In English, illusion, anger, pride, lust, envy, greed. Okay. Another detail is that who were Vasudev and Devaki in the previous lives? That's what I also find out, that they were Prishni and Sutapa in the Swayambhu Manu time, and as Prabhuji mentioned in the poetry, that they did austerity to accept Lord, and they wanted a personality equivalent to Lord, but Lord said, who is equivalent to me? Only I have to come as a son. So then he appeared as a son of Prishni, known as Prishni Garbha, and the second time he appeared as a son of, so these two personalities became Aditi and Kashyap again, and the Lord appeared as Lord Vamandev from their womb. We have heard about it in Bali Maharaj's pastime, and this is the third time Lord Krishna is appearing from Devaki and Vasudev, and this time he appeared in his full real form. Other were his expansions. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, it seems. I mean, they were their partial expansions. I mean, it is possible for Jiva also. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, the third is Krishna himself. The second is Krishnigarma is the first. Krishnigarva is the first. Second is Vaman. And third is Krishna. Okay. So, Vishwanatha Thakur comments on another interesting point, that why the voice appeared in the sky to tell Kamsa, that why the voice warned Kamsa, what is the purpose of that warning to Kamsa? That was because Kamsa was showing a lot of affection to Devaki, and then demigods were wondering that if he loves his sister so much, then maybe Krishna will not kill him. So just to create the enmity and arouse his anger, so demigods are trying to just come in between and just arouse the anger of Kamsa by telling him that this son will kill you. And also Narada Muni also comes and arouses his anger that you should kill them quickly, and so that Krishna will appear quickly. So demigods are also plotting in between. Yeah. And the voice spoke that the eighth garbha, eighth embryo will kill you, and the voice did not say the boy or girl, and that was for the purpose that so that when the girl will appear, the Kamsa will not doubt too much that it is not a boy, so he will accept that okay, it was a girl, and he will, for time being, he will come to illusion that he has done his job. Okay. He will not, for timing, I mean, that's what I read in Vishwanatha Thakur's comments, that he said that for timing he will think that, okay, the girl is only born. He will not doubt that, so he will say that this is the girl born from Devaki, and he will not doubt that Devaki's son is transferred somewhere else. So, maybe we can read more closely. But the Yoga Maya said that Lord is born somewhere else. So then he is in confusion that which is correct. So he will take this as more correct than Yoga Maya's word. But then he later tries to kill. I don't know too much, but that's, I'm just saying that what I read from Vishnu Chakra. Okay. And when we read 9th canto, the Sun dynasty and the Moon dynasty were described. The Sun dynasty was described first and the Moon dynasty was described second. But when Parikshit Maharaj is asking question, he's referring that to Sukhdeva Goswami, that you described Moon dynasty and Sun dynasty. Now I want to hear more of Krishna. So he is saying Moon dynasty first. So why is he taking Moon dynasty's name first? That's because first Moon is superior by birth to Sun. Because he is the grandson of Brahma, he is more connected to Brahma, and son is like great grandson of Brahma, so like that. And also Krishna appeared in Moon dynasty. And the last question, which I have not found full answer of, how to prove that Krishna is the source of Vishnu and not the Vishnu is the source of Krishna. Because in the tenth canto, I mean canto also, Parikshit Maharaj also says that I want to hear of Vishnu's activities, who appeared in Yadu dynasty. So he is also saying Vishnu, and also so many times in the 10th canto, the name Vishnu is taken, and Krishna, I mean, it's not made very clear. So, but wherever Vishnu is there, Acharyas write is as Krishna. So on what strength they are writing is that? So that knowledge base, I could not dig out too much, but that's my quest next few days. I want to find out all the sources which prove that Krishna is source of Vishnu. We hear of Krishna, Balram comes, and then Shankarshan, all the quadruple comes, and then Mahavishnu comes. And so, from where that source of knowledge is coming, that we need to find out to explain this. So, these are the few interesting things.
Isn't that nice? Elevated Krishna Katha. So, you see this point about he's challenging us about Lord Vishnu. How is Krishna the source of Vishnu and not vice versa? If you look up in the encyclopedia, it will say, if you look up Krishna in the encyclopedia, it says, the eighth avatar of Vishnu. Right? So, here we see in the jail that Vishnu appears. And even before that, when the gods are in anxiety, they go to the ocean of milk and talk to Lord Vishnu. So, and Vishnu says, don't worry, Krishna will come. So you can see how it appears that Krishna is coming through Vishnu. So any of our learned devotees have comments on this subject?
One Swayam. So in that chapter, Vishnu is first described as the first Purusha incarnation, second Purusha incarnation, and then list is given, and then Krishna is proclaimed as the Swayam Bhagwan. So that is one. I'm trying to collect all the sources. So that certainly is one. Mm-hmm. And the other is Brahma Samhita.
So in the Brahma Samhita, it said that Vishnu Kalyan Kala, Vishnu is the one expansion of Krishna. Is there more?
Yeah, so in the Brahma Samhita also, Vishnu is explained as an expansion of Krishna. So these two sources are there. So just wanted to know.
In 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he showed the universal form, then he showed the form of Vishnu, and then he showed his original form. So that's it. Yeah, it shows all forms comes from Krishna. But about Prabhu's question of why everyone approached Vishnu first. In the same chapter, in the beginning, it is stated all the incarnations come from Sirodakasharya Vishnu. So even when Krishna appears, he appears from the agency of... That's why it's very often stated that Vishnu, Krishna is the incarnation of Vishnu sometimes.
Ankush, did you get this point? All incarnations come through Lord Vishnu. This is the point in the material world. Even Krishna himself, who's the origin of Vishnu, comes that way.
Yeah. I want to add one more thing. Even one of the later pastimes when Arjuna and Krishna went to meet Vishnu, there's some Brahmana's child, and there also it is stated that I think Lord Vishnu will be telling Arjuna and Krishna, both of you are incarnations of Naranarayana Rishi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just on that.
Any other comments on that? Yes. Can we pass someone? Sagar, could you pass? Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes.
I have a comment. I have a question. You got a comment?
Actually, when reading Bhagavatam in the first and second chapter of the first canto, if you read the verses, by sages are many times referring to Krishna as Devakyam. Like, they're referring to Supreme God. Like, his pastime discussed are like, and but they are always referring to Krishna. They are not referring to any other incarnation in that. Especially like Bhagavatam starts with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That's also Krishna. So everywhere, different names are mentioned that are referring to Krishna and not to any other incarnation of God. Yeah, that may be a like Krishna is a recent incarnation, so maybe they are glorifying him. That might be something. But they are always referring to Krishna. They're not referring to Ram or...
Well, one point we remember from the Nectar of Devotion that avatar, Vishnu avatar has, what is it, 80-some percent of Krishna, 94% of Krishna's... 60 out of 64 of Krishna's opulences. But Krishna has four distinct opulences that Lord Vishnu doesn't have. Do you remember some of them? He plays the flute and attracts all living entities. And he displaces childhood pastimes, right? We don't see Vishnu as a child. It wasn't little tiny Vishnu that was born in the womb, kicking his four arms. It was a full-grown Vishnu, you know, full adult-sized Vishnu, and then he reduced in size to baby Krishna. Right, and his loving pastimes, he exchanged his loving pastimes with his devotees. Right. Yeah? We mentioned that. This is a unique beauty. Yeah, distinctive beauty. So Lord Vishnu's pastimes with his devotees are always in the mood of awe and reverence. So in these spiritual worlds where Lord Vishnu presides, such as are shown on the cover of the first canto, all the relationships are awe and reverence. But in Krishna Loka and Goloka, they're always mixed all these different rasas of parental, fraternal, and conjugal love. So Lord Vishnu does not have those types of unique beauty and loving relationships with devotees. Yeah. Yes. Derek, and then my boss, you had a question.
My question was that they prayed for a child like Krishna. So Krishna took birth to them like three times. But also, was that Atri Muni? Atreya Muni? He prayed for a son like Krishna, and it was like it wasn't in prayer because he prayed for a child like him. He didn't pray for the Lord. So what is the difference between what they did and what he did? Because when he prayed, he got like Shiva, Brahma, and
right,
and Vishnu.
Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. We have to look that up to see how his prayer was different. I don't believe he had the unique and distinct devotion to Krishna that Devaki and Vasudeva in their previous lives had. So he was praying for, prayed to all three.
He was praying for a son like, God. He didn't know, but he didn't even know. So he's praying for a son like God or something.
Yes. Yes, in Atri.
Sati promised she could change the three deities into a baby. Like, these three deities came as sage to test her Sati. Yeah, no. See, that pastime happened before. And then, when they revealed, then they asked that we want you to remain as child. So then left one of their amshas with them. As a three different amshas. One for Lord Shiva's amsh. I don't know which. Is it Durvasa Rishi? Yeah. Dattatreya was Lord Vishnu's amsh. And Soma was Lord Brahma's amsh. So like this, the three amshas were left. So I think they were all three in this past time.
Sutupa and Rishni who prayed a son like Vishnu. So when Vishnu appeared, he said, there's no one like me. So I'll appear as your son. And the one thing I wanted to add was that Nanda Prabhu was saying that there are two Brahmas. One is at action, other one is like just enjoying. Similarly, Krishna also enjoys, and it's Vishnu who kills the demons. So Vishnu is accompanying Krishna, but Vishnu is like sort of a caretaker, and Krishna is enjoying. That also reflects that Krishna is superior than Vishnu. Prabhupada explains this. Vishnu is killing the demons and not Krishna. Krishna is just enjoying.
Do we have any information of Krishna Garba? I don't. Anyone? There are several avatars about which we have very little in the Bhagavatam. Krishna Garba. That's one. I don't know. Damodar. Okay, Sagar Prabhu, would you kindly take the mic?
He said that Devaki and Vasudev had previous devotion to Krishna. Yeah. Why did Krishna have to show his Vishnu form to show that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
He answers that in his speech. He said, if I had come as a normal child, would you have believed that I was actually God? So I had to come as Vishnu. And he addresses them in introducing himself. So his mother's very distressed that he's going to be caught because he looks like Vishnu. This is Yogamaya, see. Here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his mother's thinking, oh no, the four arms, they're going to figure out. They're going to kill you. So she has this maternal affection mixed in with her a darshan of the Supreme Lord. See? This is Yogamaya. And Krishna likes to have varieties of relationships. I don't know if anyone has seen this. There was a famous movie in the 70s by Monty Python, the British comedy group. And they're praying to God, and God says, stop groveling. Stop groveling. Anyone seen that? Groveling. God gets bored with everybody. No, please. You're he likes some variety of relationships. So even Monty Python is realized. I don't know. What's that right? Okay, so other questions?
It seems like Balaram made a mistake of going in Devaki's womb first. Like, why didn't he know ahead of time and go straight to
Rohini? No, no. He had to prepare the womb. This is what Nandakumar Prabhu was explaining. First, the six sons, which represent the six anartas, they have to be gotten rid of. And then Guru has to appear in the heart. And Balaram is the original spiritual master. So then, when all that is done, then Krishna can appear in our heart.
So Srila Prabhupada's purport, he explains, so when Brahma is relating the instruction of Vishnu to demigods that you should all appear in the Yadu dynasty and assist Krishna's pastime, and your wife should also appear to please Supreme Lord. So then there Srila Prabhupada is explaining that all these people were devotees who were perfecting their devotion service, and when their devotion service is perfected, then they get a chance to take part in Krishna's pastime, and Krishna is taking birth in different universes always. So this is ongoing Nitya Leela. So when we become perfect devotees, then we get a chance to first get trained in a pastime of Krishna in this universe itself, and then we go back to Golok Vrindavan. So that's like program Krishna is having in different universes by through his pastime, and he's bringing all the perfected devotees to first enjoy in this Bhama Vrindavan and then go back to the spiritual world. That's what Prabhupada told
me. Yes. I was sitting in the graduation ceremony at the Mayapur Academy Pujari training in Mayapur this year. There were about 42 Pujaris from all over the world who came to get trained. And Loknath Maharaj was there speaking, and he made this point that that the devotees get this benediction of being promoted to Krishna's pastimes, being engaged in Krishna's traveling roadshow. But the pujaris, because they're directly worshiping Krishna, they go right back to God. So you save one birth.
Well, I think this birth of Krishna is very unique, and this is a privilege to see Krishna's childhood pastime, which is not there in the spiritual world. So then that privilege is there only for those who are taking part in training.
Is that Vishwanath? Rupa Goswami.
So who are those six?
Who wrote them? Yeah. Well, Rupa
Goswami.
Yeah, I've also heard that. I'm not sure the origin. Okay, last question.
I have a comment and a question. So about how Vishnu and Krishna are different. I remember, I don't know, I think Vayalapu had mentioned long ago that when in the past time when the cowherd Brahma came, and then there were all the cowherd boys who were originally Krishna, all the cowherd boys became 400 Vishnus. So there were like many 400 Vishnus, but there is just one Krishna. So maybe that is, you know, Krishna is the source of everything. And my question was, you're mentioning that the six anarthas have to be vanquished, and then Guru appears, and then Krishna appears. But as we see, you know, many devotees take initiation, but the six anarthas, and they, like, I don't know, I can't understand in practical life, like, how, what is the relation, like, how they have to be vanquished, what is it?
Well, if one takes the four regulator principles, one is dealing with those anarthas. That's the point. They are connected in that if we stop the gross sinful activities and chant Hare Krishna, then the subtle sinful activities are gradually purified. So it's not that one has to have vanquished all anarthas before one can be purified. You see? Otherwise, how would it be possible? So is that right? It's a process, a gradual process. I think I mentioned to you, my friend Charu asked Srila Prabhupada, how long does it take to be purified by chanting Hare Krishna? And he said, about 40 years.